Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we do news, we do sports. I go on an epic rant, maybe rant of the year, maybe in contention for rant of the year. Well, you guys tell me. That's coming in a second. First, I'll tell you about Bet Online. Wait's finally over. Football's back. Oh, yeah. I'd say it's back. Good games coming up this weekend. Vikings at Texans, Steelers at Titans, Bills at Raiders, Chargers at Buccaneers, Patriots at Chiefs. Don't count out the Patriots in that game. Eagles at 49ers, more options to wager than anywhere online. From spreads and totals to props, you get in on season opening bonuses, wager on division and championship futures. Head to Bet Online today. Take advantage of all the great sign up bonuses. Visit betonline.ag, our exclusive partner at Podcast One. Don't forget promo code Podcast One. Get in on the action. Make Sunday a little more engaging. So, betonline.ag. Don't forget, use the promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus today.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, and brought to you by Bet Online, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, the author of Blackout, Candace Owens. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Jeff Cesario with the sports. And now, he hasn't watched the debate yet, so he doesn't know who won, but he does know who lost. All of us. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but get it on. You managed to get it on, man. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for sharing. Right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian?
No.
No.
Dawson reminded me of that before the show.
Is that Pam Adlon?
Yep.
That is. Not to be confused with a similarly named and similar sounding Stephen Adler's mom.
Not.
And Bobby from King of the Hill,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Bobby Hill.
Stephen Adler's mom is Bobby.
Yeah.
All right. So much to discuss. Where to start? I will start by... I read a tweet when I got up this morning was from the Comedy Store. The Comedy Store, you know, the businesses that are neither fish nor fowl, these are the troubled businesses. So the restaurants, well, you can move outdoors and eat if you're in Southern California, Los Angeles, or most of California, unless you're in Orange County, in which case you just go, fuck it, we're opening up. Or... your hair salon, you can go to the parking lot, or you can bring in a certain amount of people under certain auspices. There seems to be ways that people are getting around some of the imposed procedures and whatnot. But if you're a comedy club, you're going to have a difficult time with what we're doing here. And so, as a guy who had just made... had just been made, like in the mafia, I was made at the Comedy Store, which means I was just a regular, and I was going out a couple times a week to the Comedy Store. But the Comedy Store, the Laugh Factory, are on the same street, Sunset, which, by the way, was being blocked the other night. Folks who have a cause, please stop blocking everything. I feel like you're going to anger more people than get them on your side. So I think I saw a picture, as a matter of fact, Maxipata, somebody tweeted out a picture with right in front of the Comedy Store. They just blocked off Sunset Boulevard. Was definitely the picture I saw because the Comedy Store was on the left and that's Sunset Boulevard. But anyway. The Laugh Factory is a block and a half away from the Comedy Store. The Comedy Store is up a little bit from the Improv, which is sort of down the hill a little bit, about a mile. But that was kind of the circuit, and then some of the other places in between, Ice House, places like that. Anyway, all closed down. It's been a very long period of time. And there is no end in sight, I think, if you're the Comedy Store. And obviously, these places employ a lot of waiters and waitresses and cooks and cleaners and everything else, bartenders. So the Comedy Store came up with an idea to open and do their business in the parking lot, to do an outdoor version of this.
Pretty popular here in L.A. Lots of restaurants. Christy went to a parking lot restaurant the other night.
And it's warm as hell outside, so it's okay at night. It's not snowing or sleeting or anything. Also, this thing, here's kind of the way we play it in L.A. First off, the people that are in charge of this, I think what we all could agree on is, well, let's see. There's four people in charge. You have the governor, you have the mayor of Los Angeles, you have the health director, Barbara Ferrer, and then you have a third person who Drew calls an imbecile. So you have four people, and all four of them are squarely in the same camp, which is fucking shut it down until everything goes away. That's what I would like. I would like two people be pro open it up and two people be against open it up, and then we could follow the science and see where the data led us. But we have all four people in California. They just want it shut down. I don't know what the end game is. Maybe it's after the election. I don't know how this helps.
According to Barbara Ferrer.
Well, that's when the schools will open, when the election's done. I get it. We're the safest and the lamest and the softest and the biggest pussies in the country. But at a certain point, aren't we worried about places like the Comedy Store going away forever and some of these businesses and restaurants going away forever? Many of them are going away forever. So
many have.
Many have. And so what we do, you have the video of Sunset Blocked Off. Was that from last night or is that from when? It's by the Laugh Factory. Sorry.
Five states for your turn. Thank you. You have a wonderful evening.
That doesn't look sanctioned.
That's a Laugh Factory. Right. Right.
That was last night.
Right. That was last night. Okay. Blocking off Sunset Boulevard, one of the busiest thoroughfares in the city. Now, if I want to put a patio on the back of my house and I don't go down to Glendale Building Safety and suck off some bureaucrat behind the counter, the guys will rappel down from helicopters and shut me down the next day. So I don't know what kind of society you want. Do you want the kind of society where people wait in line, pull permits, and do everything by the book? Or do you want a society where people just take out to the streets, close off Sunset Boulevard, get bullhorns and start directing traffic, and you as the authorities just step back?
It looked like the streets they kept trying to turn down and block off down. Just blocked, barricaded.
A bunch of gals and guys that just parked their cars long ways across, or short ways, however you want to do it, but they used their cars, four or five cars. They made a barrier of automobiles. They blocked it off. They got on a bullhorn, and looks like four cars just parked end to end. By the way, the good news is next time someone says, how wide is Sunset Boulevard? I'll go 4.5 Priuses. Yeah. Exactly. Because that's exactly how they took four cars. They put it across. They stood out there with signs and bullhorns and just started redirecting traffic in the middle of Los Angeles. And yet you're going to write fucking parking tickets for people not having their wheels turned in at the right angle on a 8% grade. I'm telling you, Los Angeles, I say it's off. You get another fucking parking ticket, fuck it. You get another summons about a building thing. It's like, fuck it. If it's anarchy, then it's anarchy. I don't want to pay parking tickets and not be able to use Sunset Boulevard. Yes.
And it's the thing we all hate, which is the selective enforcement. Like, there's a car. I can see it. It's been there for a better part of a week in front of my house. And
right.
I was like, all right, well, you know, it's time. I'll tell to call it in this abandoned vehicle. I go on the website, click on a report vehicle here. It's like, oh, we're no longer enforcing abandoned vehicles. So,
oh, right.
That's the end. But nothing else to click on.
But just to add to that point, as you hear this, they are going to start ticketing again. They're going to start all the ticketing and the meters and everything start as you hear this.
They'll log on right now.
I would urge nobody to pay those tickets. And also, let's not forget, when Mark Garagos's client reopened their salon 2 weeks ago, the cops did show up and drag them out of there. So they have resources. They just how they allocate them.
It is remarkably ironic that probably the most ticketed street in Los Angeles is Hollywood Boulevard.
And those Sunset, tickets.
Yeah. And they just let them park across the street.
Well, there you go, everybody.
There we go.
So
don't
now
have tow trucks.
I read And I've had cars towed. I've had motorcycles towed. Okay, fine. We don't enforce rules for a certain group. We do enforce groups rules for others. Fine. It's the beginning of the end of a society. Now, I was looking at this tweet, and there's, first off, an article. So here's how we work. We do a thing where we go, hey, Labor Day is coming up this weekend. Record temperatures in the San Fernando Valley, literally 121 degrees. Yeah. All of humanity flocks to the beach. No one's wearing a mask, and there's just throngs of humanity on the beach as far as the eye can see. I was there all 3 days. That's all I could see was traffic and humanity on the beach. And then the folks that are worried, who are in charge, say, be prepared for a surge. You can't have that many people in that proximity to one another for that period of time without a surge.
And haven't we figured out the outdoor open air thing? Isn't that?
Well,
there's a lot of evidence.
You blink your eyes, a month has gone by, and there is no surge.
There was
so
no surge.
I don't know if you have that article, Dawson. You can probably just read the top.
Los Angeles County coronavirus update. L.A. records only one death recorded to COVID-19 on Monday. No Labor Day surge emerges. Lowest total since March.
Okay. So now we get to, right, but we still got to have it locked down. Sure. So now the Comedy Store.
Right, let me make one more point here in the article. It says that only one new coronavirus-related death was reported on Monday, but officials were quick to point out that reporting lags over the weekend. So if you have a glimmer of hope,
No.
So we're going to have three on Tuesday?
Right. Yeah. And Labor Day was a month ago. No surge. Okay. So now the Comedy Store comes up with a plan to reopen. And the Comedy Store wants to open outdoors. And that tweet from the Comedy Store says,
dear fans, we've been notified by the L.A. County Health Department that outdoor live entertainment is not allowed at this time, despite the city of West Hollywood's approval based on our very safe and thoughtful approach to enjoying stand-up comedy in our parking lot. Our shows this weekend will be fully refunded. We're sorry for the inconvenience and look forward to seeing you all soon. If you feel the way we do about the importance of bringing stand-up comedy back, email our L.A. County Supervisor, Sheila Kuhl.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of people in the street these days protesting things, so it seems, during the nighttime, out on the streets, blocking off Sunset, having marches and stuff like that. By the way, if anyone knows West Hollywood or West L.A., they're probably fairly conservative, not politically, but from a safety standpoint.
Oh, yeah.
No glove, no love, baby.
That's right.
That they are. If WeHo, that's West Hollywood, it's the gay portion of town.
Boys Town.
If they say we believe it is safe enough for you to open your business, I'm going to say that business could open in any city in the country, possibly the world, at that point. But L.A. still had to get involved and make sure this landmark that has done nothing. I mean, look, the Comedy Store isn't responsible for putting L.A. on the map, but the Comedy Store, L.A. owes a lot to the Comedy Store. All the Richard Pryors and the George Carlins and the legendary and Sam Kennison, it's a legendary spot that has not only paid a ton of taxes, but launched many a career that have now paid in millions and billions of dollars in taxes. I don't know. Maybe you work with them. You try to be a little flexible.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that the outdoor thing feels like a clever workaround and a responsible one.
Yeah, right.
Shut it
and
down.
Is it the kind of thing that they're saying, but if we let you do it, we have to let everybody open? I mean, is that the lame excuse they're using?
Next thing you know, Barney's Beanery is going to want to have outdoor seating.
Well, all the restaurants are having outdoor seating. I'm not privy to all of what the Comedy Store was planning. I know the lay of the Comedy Store. I know how the parking lot works and the sort of side area works, and I'm kind of imagining how it's going to work. I'm assuming they spread the tables out and did all the protocols that everyone else is doing in their business. So why is the question? What's in it for you? Hey, bureaucrat that makes $53,000 a year, what are you doing? What's inspiring you? What's motivating you? Other than someone is doing something and they didn't ask your permission and now you say no. What is different about this versus the beach on Labor Day? I thought we were going to follow the science. What happened to the science? The restaurants have been open. People have been eating out in patios and parking lots and tables spread out all over the place. Why shouldn't we be able to do comedy? What about taxpayers? What about businesses? What about lives? What about bartenders? And what about busboys? What about your community? What shouldn't we be? Here's what I'm saying. Shouldn't we be working to reopen these places versus crossing our arms and shaking our head and going, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. And that's what it feels like. That's what it feels like here in California and Los Angeles. And I don't know. That's a scary form of government to me. Shut it down. The initial shutdown is because we're going to flatten the curve. We're not going to overwhelm the hospitals. 200 days later, it's like, I don't know.
Till further notice.
You can do stuff outside. Seems safe, but I don't think you're going to do that.
Yeah. Feels like you say, it comes from a place of fear. Like, regardless of what the science says or what your evidence is showing us about outdoor versus indoor, blah, blah, no one wants to be the person to put that rubber stamp and say, yeah, we're all good, for fear that there's, I don't know, there's an outbreak at that club, whatever it is. I don't think the person wants that albatross hanging around their neck.
It's like the execs at networks and stuff we've talked about. Nobody wants to greenlight something. It's safer and more comfortable to just pass.
I wish it was simply fear. I really do. Because I think it's a little more like, you know, when Barbara Ferrer says, when the election's done, we can open the schools. That doesn't feel fear-based to me. Right. It feels something else is motivating that. I wish it was just fear. Because if you go, hey, I'm fearful that people are going to get this disease spread in the parking lot of the Comedy Store, then you go, okay, well, let's look at some data then. Let me assuage your fear. See, here's the beach. Right. Here was Labor Day. Here are many restaurants up and down the street that have opened safely outdoors for months now or weeks now. So now that you've got the information, you won't be fearful anymore. It feels like somebody's enjoying this power. And my question is, how long are we going to take it? How long before people just go, fuck it? Like, how long before we start opening shit up? How long before we stop listening, I guess, is what I'm saying. Like, when and for how long? How much of the rest of the country has to open up? How many sort of inconsistencies do we need? How many? Well, that cafe can be open with people sitting next to each other outdoor, but you couldn't hear comedy in that same sort of environment or using that same table layout. You couldn't hear what Patton Oswalt has to say. Like, that doesn't make sense. At what point do people start going, I'm just going to open my shit? By the way, if you notice, lots of businesses, scary, but lots of businesses, you'll notice, and I've noticed this, like the jujitsu dojo that was closed for 4 months now has butcher paper over the windows and sort of sounds coming from the inside. All the places where you got a massage or a haircut or a dojo or a gym or something, that's like butcher papers going up and you can see there's lights on inside.
They've all become speakeasies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long before people just start, they're already ignoring the rules because they've opened these places. How long before everyone just goes, fuck it, we're just opening? Like, the Comedy Store should just open. They should just open their outdoor comedy.
And if you do it in the name of protest, if we're being fair, then you should have some leniency. People should
That's
be
clever.
Looking the other way because it's a protest.
Well,
Yes.
I had this thought today. Coming from a place, Los Angeles, Los Angeles probably has the highest per capita group who've uttered the phrase, I speak truth to power. But all you pussies are silent on this subject, aren't you? You know, the power is Garcetti and the power is Newsom. That's the power. So all you heroes who speak truth to power, why don't you pipe up? Because I haven't heard shit from any of you pussies. Nobody speaks truth to that power. They speak truth to their power, whatever popular power, whatever power makes them popular. Pipe up. The power's Garcetti. He's got his fucking boot on you. You guys speak truth to him, heroes, because that's what you do. You speak truth to power. That's what you all do, right? You're fucking heroes. I read your tweets. You always speak truth to power, and you announce we need to speak truth to power. All right. The Yentas in the street with the bullhorn shutting off Sunset Boulevard, they're speaking truth to power. Where's your voice? Why aren't you speaking up? Why aren't you coming together and fucking getting a bullhorn and getting in Garcetti's face or Newsom's face? They're the power. They've shut you down. No one else shut you down. They've shut you down. So, or I'll make you this. Let's make a compromise. You shut the fuck up with your truth to power speeches. Shut up, pussies. Shut up. I don't want to hear you fucking sheep telling me about truth to power anymore when, in fact, there is a power, there is a truth, and you guys have zipped it because you're scared of what you may be called on social media. Okay, heroes, keep speaking truth to power. Blah.
Well
the
said.
End.
Hey, I have a stock tip for you.
Oh.
And I don't think it's too late. I think that we're probably just on the crest. And I'm not kidding. Don't you think this would be a good time to invest in patio furniture and umbrellas? Since all
yeah, right
the
at the end of summer.
Well, but that's the thing. That's the only way restaurants can open. And what are they going to do with all this shit once they're allowed to go back inside? But now everyone's scurrying to find all this stuff so they can open on their in their parking lots.
Mm. You know what I'll add to that? Mm. Heat lamps.
Mm. Yeah,
be a lot,
exactly.
A lot of patio heat lamps keeping
yes.
those people. Especially, that fucking LA doesn't get that cold. But other parts of the country, you're going to need to keep those people warm.
The yep. problem with the heat lamp is its effective range in sweet oh. spot is so fine. It has to be, you need a safe cracker to dial those things in. Like,
yeah.
there is the heat lamp, and then the heat lamp is like, my right side is on fire, my left side is freezing. My wife's nose has an icicle hanging off it, but actually the back of my neck is actually bubbling from the heat that's coming. Could you move that just 2 feet toward
that's
Mecca?
True.
And then there's, so it's like, there's such, they work well, but they have to be placed perfectly. And
that's
also
true.
There's kind of a flaw, which is in the placement of the heat lamp, like on the foretop, somebody's sitting directly under the heat lamp, and another person's 4 feet away on the other side. And they're like, I'm cold. And they're like, no, I need to turn it down. We need to spread the heat out a little more.
I've never been happier to show on this point because this, I guess what I found at the Home Depot years ago and has changed my life. And now I'm like you, when people come over, they're like, oh, that's cool. I'm like, why doesn't every heat lamp have this? Chris, I just sent you a link. Put up the picture as soon as you can. My heat lamp that, again, I discovered at the Home Depot has a directional hood. The hood is on an articulating arm, and you can direct the heat exactly where you want it. It's amazing. As opposed to the heat just goes everywhere. Half goes against the wall, half goes against the person. This I bought two of these. And every time someone's like, oh, that's nice. Look, this is not a bridge too far. This is $18 worth of modification.
Yeah, I agree. Smart. And yes, there's always the ability, the shotgun effect versus the Mark Wahlberg.
The sniper.
One last mission effect that Brian has.
And
yes.
Just to wrap this up, I just got an alert right now from the AP, the Associated Press. Disney says it plans to lay off 28,000 workers at its theme parks in California and Florida. So,
yes, I agree. I mean, the other thing is this. Somebody's going to have to pick up a tax bill. Like, I don't know what's going on with the coffers, but there's not a lot of money being paid, not coming in with all these businesses. At some point, we're going to need this tax revenue for paying, you know, cops and teachers and all sorts of firemen and all sorts of things we need here. Where do we expect this money to come from? How is this going to work? How's it pencil out? I mean, shouldn't the powers that be cautiously moving forward with like, hey, every day there's a bunch of businesses shut down as a day we don't get any tax money. Mm-hmm. So we got to figure out a way creatively to get these up and running so we can get paid. It's interesting. I keep asking smart people, what do you think the end game is? And they just go, no end game. I don't know. Like, I can't, no one, I wish someone had a sort of nefarious, like, they'd go, I'll tell you what's going on.
Yeah.
But nothing's going on. It's just,
there's no plot.
There's just nothing. It's like that, the beach is open and Comedy Store's closed, and that's that. I'd like to get back to going to the Comedy Store. Oh, they're going to have people spread out all over the sidewalk.
It's still got to be 6 feet away.
That's how they did it. I was thinking about the back parking lot. I didn't even think about the front.
I think that is the back parking lot. It's from
he's right. Okay.
He's right. I see.
I'm right. Yes. It's a different angle in this shot. Yeah. Well, okay. What's the difference between a restaurant? All right. All right, let me hit Simply Safe here. Most home security companies trap you with high prices, tricky contracts, lousy customer support. There's only one no-brainer. That is Simply Safe. Two eyes in there, everything to protect your home, an arsenal of sensors and cameras for every room, window, and door, tailored specifically to your home, professional monitoring day and night, ready to send police, fire, or medical professionals as well. Set up in under an hour, peel and stick. Batteries last up to 10 years. No technician required. $15 a month. No hidden fees. No small or fine print. This is the best, people. No pulling wires. No drilling. No muss. No fuss. U.S. News and World Report named it the best overall home security of 2020. Simply Safe, right, Dawson?
Head to simplysafe.com/Adam and get a free HD camera for our listeners. That's simplysafe.com/Adam to make sure they know our show sent you.
All right. Speaking of comedy, I'm going to be going to Salt Lake City both ways, flying privately on Gergis's jet. So we're all looking forward to that. Wise guys, we'll do it this weekend, and we'll do a couple of live shows there, a couple of live podcasts, and I'll do stand-up as well. Couple of tickets. The late-night shows are sold out. There's a couple tickets left for the early shows. So I hear that'll be the live pod. And then also doing a Reasonable Doubt there, a matinee, I think 4 o'clock on Saturday. So tickets available for that. So if you're going to be in the Salt Lake area, come on out and say hi. I grabbed a clip. Max Paddock grabbed a clip. I think it was based on Wine, Dine, and 69, something we discussed here.
Yeah.
And somebody shouted it out when we were in
Tempe
mm-hmm. a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, so we're not doing the ping pong balls. Everyone just shouting stuff out and right. just rolling with them.
All right, here we go. Wine, Dine, and 69. Thank you. My feeling with Wine and Dine and 69 is there's got to be something in between Dine and 69. We can't go, you know, you're having some wine and some nachos. You can't go right into 69, and it has to be the drive back to the hotel or feel a booby outside of the sweater, like something. We can't just dive right from Wine and Dine into 69. I mean, if we're going to do it, let's really shuffle the deck here. Let's go Wine, 69, Dine, because I don't want to fucking... I mean, she just finished off a whole platter of... she had a whole platter of stuffed potato peels, you know? You know the potato skins, you don't want that. Wine, 69... Dine, and then we. But now we got a conversation. You know, you know. Sometimes you just sit there, like I don't know, penny for your thoughts. But when you're just done 69ing, it's like it's a gab fest right over there. And at some point, she goes, "Hey, you got something on your thing? Oh, broccoli? No, no. Well, maybe it was." Wine, Dine, and 69. Thank you for that very heady selection. All right, let's see. We got the news with Gina Grad, and I think we'll just roll right into that.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, what the Comedy Store and the Laugh Factory need to say is if SNL can do it, we can do it. Because SNL is kicking off the 46th season this weekend with a live audience. But you have to jump through a few hoops to get in on this. According to Hollywood Reporter, tickets to the show's dress rehearsal and live show come with a long list of health stipulations. Audience members will be required to take a mandatory COVID-19 test upon arrival. This is a self-administered lower nasal antigen test with results yielded before the show. There'll be temperature checks, a mask, and you have to wear that at all times inside 30 Rock. Despite the requirements, the October 3rd premiere is sold out. It's going to be Chris Rock and Megan Thee Stallion.
I was trying to think of the temperature thing. I've done the temperature at some hotels.
I did it this morning.
I've done the temperature at some businesses, many businesses, I do feel, but not others. I've not done it at some of the restaurants. I've done it at some of the other businesses. And I don't think I keep getting back to the airport and the Southwest flight, which is I don't. Maxwell, did they do the temperature at the airport or the Southwest flight?
No.
It's a confined.
Feels like the right place.
It's a pretty confined. I mean, if you took, I'll put it to you this way. I've done a couple of the outdoor dining experiences, like the Parkway Grill in Pasadena. Mm-hmm. They put up a little shrub. They put some tables. They put a little AstroTurf down. They make it as nice as they can make it. There is probably all told 24 people in a decent sized parking lot all spread out. Southwest flight is basically 85 people in a small alley that's right. Capped on each end. And you can go social distancing, but the seat that's empty in between you and the stranger, that's 19 inches. That's not 6 feet. That's not you at a table over there and them at a table over there. And
not 2 feet.
By the way, when the person in front of you reclines their chair and you can see their male pattern baldness up there, like when the person in front of you reclines, their head is 14 inches from you if you stand up or sit up. There's not a lot of distancing. They do want you to wear the mask. They do not check temperatures. Everyone gets onto the plane. That'd be the perfect spot just to kind of go, all right, we're going to hit you in the forehead. Right,
they're standing in line anyway.
They're not hitting the temperature getting onto the plane. They're not hitting the temperature going through security when everyone just kind of gets to that point in the security where they need your ticket. Yes.
I don't know how you guys feel about the temperature checks. I personally like them. I'm down for any business to be open right. As long as they take precautions. And you're in charge of your own level of risk. If that's too much for you, don't go to that business. Or if that's acceptable, go to that business. I like the temperature check because a lot of times people have the fever. They don't know it. I encounter it multiple times a week, sometimes multiple times a day, because my physical therapy clinic, I still go there and they do the temperature upon stepping through the door. And even Tessa's school, which we started sending her back, they do the temperature check on her and me to make sure that no one in the household, at least no one there, has a temperature going. And I like that. I don't know about you guys.
I like it. Well, I like it for a couple of reasons. I like anything that has a result. You know what I mean? Where the guy goes, you're fine. I go, okay. I feel like I did something right in school for a change. You know what I mean? Like something. I feel like I passed the test. Mm-hmm. It's good to know. I would like to know if I have a temperature anyway. Like, I wouldn't even think about it in terms of COVID. I would just think like, hey, am I getting sick? Do I have the temperature? Is there something wrong? Am I run down? Or do I have COVID or whatever? So I have no problems with the temperature. That's just information. I don't think people have a beef with information. I think sometimes they have a beef with a imposed something or something that feels like it's beyond what's necessary.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. But temperature is fine. They could do it. But again, if you put everything against the backdrop of the airport, lots of people indoors going from lots of people in security. And I got to tell you, the airports are picking back up. I mean, when we were going through Phoenix 2 weeks ago, that security was busy. People aren't social distancing. The thing with the social distance is it's kind of catch as catch can. People are in a long security line, so they're not really social distancing. And then they social distance when they get to the X-ray machine. They step back. They give you 6 feet to load your stuff up. But before that, everyone's just queued up. It's not a lot of science to it. There's no temperature checks. You go from crowded in the airport to more crowded on the airplane and no temperature anywhere to be found. So I don't know what's going on. And on top of that, you add traveling to parts unknown. Like you go, I'm going to Phoenix. Well, I'm going to Wisconsin. All right. Well, I'm going to New Delhi. And everyone just spreads out and goes different directions. You would think this would be a recipe for disaster. You think it would just spread far and wide. It would get on the one airplane that has to lay over here and someone gets off and then goes somewhere else and they'd just be spreading around. It doesn't seem to be. So that's why I'm curious. You have written on the screen, Max Pata?
Oh, yeah. So it also at the airports, like when we were putting things through the x-ray, we use those little doggy bowls. They just bring those right back around. And the touchscreen kiosks are everywhere. Everyone uses these. They say, oh, if you want to check your bags in, go to the touchscreen kiosk and print out your own thing. So everybody's touching everything.
And everyone's touching everything. No one's wiping everything down.
There's no dental dam.
No dental dam. No temperature checks and not much. Again, I don't know what good social distancing is going to do. An airplane is 9 feet wide and 61 feet long, and there's 80 souls in it. You can try to rearrange those pieces, those chess pieces, any way you want. You're just not going to get that far away from another human being. All right. But yet, I have not heard anything coming out of the airports or the airlines or any of that. So that to me is a good sign. What else, Gina?
Well, another piece of SNL news that might be interesting. Jim Carrey will be taking on the role of Joe Biden when the show premieres back on October 3rd. Jason Sudeikis had been impersonating Biden, but producer Lorne Michaels says it was Jim's idea. Jim contacted them, and Alec Baldwin will return as Trump. Maya Rudolph will be back, of course, as Kamala Harris. And like I said, they'll be back in studio.
I'm telling you, she sounds exactly like, I mean, she doesn't even deserve credit. That's just what she sounds like. When she's doing Beyonce, she sounds like Kamala.
You know what it is? I've been thinking about this because you said it was kind of in the back of her sort of nasal cavity.
Yes.
And you're right about that. They both have a very nasal voice. They speak, a lot of their voice comes through their nose. Mm-hmm. And I think they both, like you said, they both do that naturally. But I don't know if you just heard that clip of Kamala laughing and giggling about Trump's tax returns.
Mm-mm.
It sounds like Maya Rudolph. I'm sorry. I don't know if we can find
it. If we find it, we'll play it. Yeah.
$750. Come on, man. And she's giggling and it's all through her nose. So you'll hear it when you hear that.
Oh, and maybe I'm going to include Beyonce in this group, or maybe it's Maya Rudolph doing Beyonce that always made me feel like it was Kamala. But either way, that ought to be good. And they must be doing a half capacity or third capacity or something.
You know, that's interesting because social distancing wasn't mentioned in the article, and it does say it's sold out. So maybe they think that with all these other precautions to be able to do COVID tests on site, they're just going to pack the place. I didn't see anything about skipping every other seat or whatever.
Well, the problem with sold out is if you go from 200 people to 80 people, you'll still sell out 80 people. But yeah, look, get young people. That's the crowd anyway. Test them out. They're all healthy. Then let them go to it. Yes. I loved Fred Armistead when he would be doing Prince and he would whisper on Prince's talk show.
Yeah.
Do you remember that
He'd
bit?
He'd whisper to Beyonce.
Yeah. He would just whisper and then Beyonce would translate for him. I don't know why that always cracked me up. Why'd that make me laugh so hard? Did you guys think that was funny
Fred
too?
Armistead's pretty funny.
Yeah,
that was very funny. He's a funny performer. Speaking of which, back to Gina's original headline. It's never come up on the show. Did you guys watch In Living Color? That was a weekly staple for me. I had to watch it. I wonder if it's hard for like a younger generation to imagine now, because Jim Carrey has become like a different person. But he was a fucking comedy force of nature. Like maybe the biggest like comedy, you know, a spectacle of my, you know, teenage years.
Yeah.
Well, he had two things. He had like the rubber face.
Oh, yeah. Fire Marshal Bill. Yeah,
that's right.
I mean, he could just do anything with his face. He could do a lot of the voices. And then most importantly, this like unyielding desire to be loved. Mm-hmm. And to prove himself and to prove everyone wrong and to be successful. Like it needs all three. You know what I mean? Like you need that body that's made of rubber with this desire to make it at all costs and be noticed all the time and have everyone say you were the funniest, twice as funny as the second funniest cast member and all that kind of stuff. And obviously when you get divorced and you get rich and you've been there and you've done that, you still have the physical ability. You just lost the motor part. Right, like you don't have that eye of the tiger, which is that please love me, please laugh. You know, I grew up poor. I want to be the most famous, richest person in Hollywood. You know, like famously, I'm going to write myself a check for $1 million or $10 million or whatever it was. And one day I'm going to cash this check. So that at some point goes away, just like, you know, a young fighter who's poor and hungry and on the way up has a different desire than the older, richer fighter who's kind of looking at it as more of a business decision now and not motivated to train as hard and so on and so forth. Brian?
I've seen Rocky III.
Yeah.
I know how that goes.
So, but good. Be nice to see him back. I always wish guys like that always seem sort of tortured to me. Like, I don't know why. I don't know. All the success in the world is probably not worth it if, in fact, you're going to be simultaneously tortured. Better to have a much lesser degree of success and monetary compensation and not have that tortured outlook, which is always just summoned from somewhere in you and totally unnecessary. But you only figure that out when you're on your deathbed. Do you have Maya? Do we have Kamala Harris? Yes.
Oh, we're pulling it now. I don't know if Kaylin has it yet.
If you just play that, just play the audio, and we should just listen. Oh, I'm just going to close my eyes.
Okay. The first thing I said, did you say $750.00? Did you say? I honestly couldn't believe it. I literally, I thought that someone left out the three zeros, you know, after a comma.
Kamala. If you close your eyes, you can picture Maya Rudolph. Well, that'll be good. I wonder how he's going to play Joe Biden. I wonder if he's
probably not kindly.
Probably a little out of it.
Yeah, I just wonder if he's going like, is he going all in? Like, we'll see. Well, it'll be interesting to see how he plays it. All right. Sorry. What else you got, Gina Grand?
Well, you know, nobody likes it when you bring a gun to school. That's usually an automatic suspension. They also don't like it when you bring it to online school when you're at your house. A 9-year-old Louisiana student was suspended after a teacher reported seeing a gun in the boy's bedroom during a virtual class, according to CNN. The attorney representing the child's family said it was a BB gun and the school went way too far, applying its on-campus weapons policy without considering the privacy of the child and his family. The office is investigating. But what the family says was his brother was messing around in the background with all this stuff. The student took the BB gun, put it next to him on the desk so the other one wouldn't be messing with it. The teacher sees a gun in the camera, freaks out, has a 9-year-old suspended.
Well, you can say
C minus, huh?
You can say, what is that? Is that a gun or is it a BB gun or is it a pellet gun? The BB gun was a little rich for my blood growing up. My grandfather had a pellet gun.
And is that like the air cap?
Is that an air rifle? Is that the same thing?
A pellet gun is a better BB gun, basically. BBs are just round ball bearings or small little BBs. BBs are one of those things that I would describe by simply repeating the word BB all over and over. You don't know what a BB is? A BB's like a BB.
Little BB.
It's like you get a little BB. Like you get a little canister of BBs. You don't know what a BB is? It's like a BB. Like you put a BB like in a BB gun. It's like two Bs and a B. It's a BB. What's a BB? It's a BB. It's a little BB. But we put it in a gun. It's called a BB gun because it shoots BBs. Hold on, I'm going to kill myself with this BB gun. So the BB gun.
Oh, BBs.
They had, the BBs were the little bearings, like 1/8-inch size ball bearings, round, not rifle. They didn't have a front and a back. The pellet gun were pellets. They're pellets.
No, like a pellet.
You know, like a pellet. The pellet gun looks like a miniature little projectile, but it's got kind of a front and a back, and it flies a little truer and probably goes a little deeper in your skin. The air rifles were the ones you pumped.
Mm-hmm. Right.
My
grandpa had one of those.
The caulk ones were like the Red Ryder ones, like that just caulk it once and poom or pull something back and fire it. And then later on became there came these little air cartridge ones where you'd put in a little CO2 air canister, sort of like a whippet, like they do to like a industrial powered whipped cream thing, or a seltzer bottle where they put the little canister, you know, and it just fire off of that until it ran out of propellant. So I never had a BB gun. It was considered sort of, I don't know, we didn't like
Damn
guns.
Damn your pacifism!
I know. Look, it cost money, it brought joy, I don't know. My grandpa had an air gun. I do remember going to my friend John Tyler's house. Everyone under 30, listen up. This is how human beings used to be. My friend John and his friend Chet invited me and my buddy Chris over to John's house. They were a couple years older. You know, back when it was a big deal, you got an invite from a guy who was 2 years older than you to go to his house. As you get older, now that I'm 56, I don't factor that in. I'm not, how old's the guy? He's 59. Ooh. I'm going to shave.
Put on my spats.
That's right. So I was like, John and Chet invited us over. We like walked over to John's house. We like knocked on the door. Nobody answered the door. Then we heard a voice coming from the roof. And we said, what's up? We walked out and there's Chet and John on the roof. And then we're like, what's up? And they both had BB guns. And we said, how's this going to work? And he said,
dance.
You got 10 seconds. And like, you do that move all the time where they go, 10 seconds. You go, for what? You better start running. 9 seconds. And you go, I'm not going anywhere. Come on now. 8 seconds. And they go, I'm not doing it. And then they go, 6 seconds. And you start running at 6. Nope. And they never honor the second countdown. No. They start firing the second you start running. That's the way it works.
Just to make sure I understand, they invited you over to hunt you?
That's right.
The ultimate prey.
The ultimate prey. Wow. Ninth graders. So we started running, and they were shooting us in the back with their BB guns.
It's the fucking purge.
It's the purge. I was shot by another guy named John in my neighborhood, the BB gun once when I was standing out on the sidewalk. And I had a friend named Tom who had an air rifle. And eventually you run out of... you run out of BBs or you run out of pellets or whatever. So you start firing. We used to fire. He had a koi pond. We used to fire fish food out of it. Pellets, you know. And
yeah, right size.
My grandfather ran out of pellets, and they had these weird spaghetti plastic lounge chairs that were in the back of their house.
Oh,
and the
yeah.
sun screwed them all up, and I just cut them all up in these little quarter-inch bits and would put those into the air gun and fire that out of the air gun. But I still have a scar on my chest where I was sitting on the toilet at my friend Tom's house, and he kicked open the bathroom door, and he pushed the gun against my chest. He had a wood match in it. It was a stick, a match stick in it. Again, we didn't have ammunition, but a matchstick would work. And he just pushed it against my chest and just fired the air gun at me and the match.
At your most vulnerable.
Yeah, on the commode. The match kind of stuck in me a little bit. But we had fun with those with the air guns and the BB guns. And the problem is it's the same. It's the same problem with fireworks where you go, I want a BB gun. Why? I think it would be fun to safely set up aluminum cans in the backyard where there was a berm of dirt and put it down there and do target practice on the aluminum cans. That's fine. Then you go from cans to, ooh, that pigeon just landed up there on the wire. And then you go from, let's shoot Bad Ronald. Let's invite the neighborhood kid over and shoot. Eventually, you start shooting people. It's nowhere... It's fun to shoot cans for a little while, but you gotta go somewhere. And fireworks are fun to light off and then run, but eventually you put them in your hand, you light them, and you want to throw them at people, and that's where people get their fingers blown off. So,
PSA.
Didn't have footage, or we don't have images of it, do we? The BB gun?
No, just the kid, just the poor kid.
Is the kid still in trouble, or once they found out it was a BB gun.
They're investigating.
Oh, black kid? You can't do that.
Yeah.
No. She looks pretty studious as well.
Yeah, he has his school uniform on and everything.
The big one was called, I think it was called the Red Rider. That was the one from
Christmas Story.
That's right.
Was it? Yeah, the 50s Red Rider and the 60s. Yeah, and they had it all. It was all laid out for you. All right, let me hit ButcherBox. Ah, this episode is sponsored by ButcherBox. Oh, man, do I love ButcherBox. We did the ground beef last night. We did the tacos. I love taco seasoning and ground beef, man. Delectable. Delicious. 100% grass-fed, free-range organic chicken, heritage-breed pork, wild-caught seafood sourced from folks who go above and beyond caring for animals and environment and sustainability. Average cost, less than $6 per meal, y'all. Options and delivery frequencies to fit your needs. Cancel anytime, no penalty. Ground Beef for Life is back for a limited time. New members get 2 pounds of free ground beef in every order by signing up today at butcherbox.com. Stuff is good. Olga whips up something new every night, and it's always better than it needs to be. It is super high quality. ButcherBox.com/Adam is where you go. That's ButcherBox.com/Adam is where you go and get the ground beef for life. Okay, Gina, let's bring it on home, shall we?
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Had these little glimpses of things pop into your head when you get older. Had a coach in Pop Warner football when I was like 8 or 9. One of the assistant guys, he'd go, "You betcha, Red Rider." That was his thing. Like, he'd just say that to everyone, you know, "Go get him, Red Rider." You're going to have these weird little things just sort of stick in your head. I didn't really know what Red Rider even meant. I didn't have a BB gun. It just, he was the cool coach who said Red Rider. It didn't take much to entertain back then. All right, we should take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll do sports with Cesario right after this.
It's time to break down the game film and look at the X's and O's, the KOs and the O-Nos from the world of sports. BetOnline presents All Balls, All Sports.
Time for the BetOnline headlines. NFL, let's go straight to it. Chiefs clobber Baltimore. Go, Gina. Season record now 1-1-1. Final 34-20. Patrick Mahomes looked better than a new car on its first ride. Ravens Lamar Jackson, kind of an okay night. Jackson's 21-4 as a starter, 21-4 as a starter. Three of those losses are to Mahomes' Chiefs, which is a bad pattern if you're trying to build the new great NFL rivalry, which people are trying to do between these two franchises. Each have a league MVP award. The biggest difference this year, probably Baltimore's defense, or at least their back end, their D-backs, not as solid as they've been in the past. So KC has a strong chance to repeat, but this is not the way you want to start a rivalry in the NFL. Is the two brilliant guys, one clearly better than the other.
Yeah. Well, Lamar, it's funny because Lamar Jackson, it is Lamar Jackson, right? I always screw that guy's name up. He's such an exquisite, raw athlete, you know, and he does things that other guys just can't do or you haven't seen in the league in a long time. But Mahomes has this kind of quiet athleticism. Like, it's not that flashy. He doesn't do a lot of big spinning moves and leap over people and stuff like that, but quietly breaks off big chunks of runs and throws on the run outside of the pocket and has this crazy arm, but in just a sort of less flashy kind of way. And the Chiefs are really the team to beat. I mean, they have to be considered the best team in football right now, obviously coming off the Super Bowl. And the quarterback just seems to be getting better every day. He's so young. Barring injury with Andy Reid, I mean, we may be talking about a dynasty here. I mean, this guy's, you know, Mahomes got 10 more years in him, barring any kind of injuries.
But didn't he sign that 10-year? Was it a 10-year contract? It was some long contract.
Yeah, something big.
Yeah, he's he's got a long – I mean, he's going to be around for a long time, and he's got the physical ability, but he also has a weird maturity for such a young guy. I mean, you know, being a quarterback is – you know, it's 50% your ability, but then it's 50% decision-making. Like, when do you throw the ball out of bounds? When do you – you see almost everyone gets into trouble trying to do too much. You know what I mean? Trying to stretch it out for that extra yard, trying to squeeze a ball into a place they couldn't get the ball in. He just doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. They did a play where they scored. They're on the goal. They're, I don't know, on the 4-yard line or whatever. They did a play, and that play just looked undefensible, which is like Mahomes was in the shotgun, dropped back and did an underhand kind of shuffle pass to the fullback who was setting up the block. I don't know how you defend that play. And if you do defend that play, then there's going to be somebody else open in the flat. Like, they got a lot of different ways to score on that team, and they're firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, tip of the cap to Andy Reid, because he's got not only the offense clicking, but he saddled Lamar Jackson with three of his losses. The rest of the league is literally like, how do we stop Lamar Jackson? And Andy Reid clearly has it down cold. Jackson had like 80 yards on the ground and like 35 through the air or something. Yeah, ho-hum. Very ho-hum, Dave.
Yeah.
That contract, that 10-year contract is, remember, it's the largest in contract in sports history. It's up to $503 million through 2031 in Kansas City.
Did Andy Reid lose a bunch of weight, or was that just the virtual press conference where it was like I couldn't really tell? Everyone's doing a kind of virtual press thing, and it didn't look like his normal self. I think it must have been the lighting on the virtual press conference. I like a fat Andy Reid. Yeah, it was an app. Yeah, he also had a unicorn. I like a fat and he had the Pokemon eyes. I like a big Andy Reid. I don't want, you know, the one thing, Jeff, Brian, you got to be with me on this. I don't need any more.
You like your Andy Reid big is what you say. You like your Andy Reid's big is what you like.
I don't like a bunch of young, good-looking coaches. You know, I don't like the 37-year-old guy with the Don Johnson beard, you know, the Rams guy. I don't like that.
Yeah.
The fit guys looking, McVay looking good with their shirt off and that kind of shit, gel in their hair. I miss Abe Gibron. I miss big fat guys who used to play Ditka. Like guys used to play in the league, bad hair, way overweight, you know, storming up, huffing and puffing up and down the sideline.
Where's John Robinson?
Right.
Who was the Lions guy for a while? Jim Schultz, was that his name? He was a shorter version of that, but he would chase people up and down the line and chase opposing coaches and stuff. And just, I like the level of frustration in those guys because I think they'll actually dig deeper because this is their only avenue of revenge on successful, good looking people is coaching them out of their money. That's all they have.
Yeah, McVay looks like an extra from Melrose Place. I don't need that shit. I want big and fat and bald. Yes, guys. I want guys who, when they have a breakdown, there's spittles flying, their hands, and they're so fat they can knock themselves off balance when they're angry. You know, like they're morbidly obese guys want to take their headset off and throw it on the ground, but get tangled up in the cord and go down with it. You know, like those kind of guys.
Yeah.
And the big belt, you know, big belt pushing through with the shirt tucked in.
Bum Phillips
is good. Who was the Detroit the Lions coach from the 80s? He wasn't in 90s. He wasn't morbidly obese, but he had that big head, like a big jowly.
Rod Marinelli?
I know who you're thinking. Rod Marinelli's actually in pretty good shape. Dang it. Who is this
guy? I'm just trying to remember Lions coaches. I'm not a big
Lions
fan.
Nobody can remember the Lions.
Well, you'd see him once a year, you'd see him on Thanksgiving, and he was always upset because the Lions were being beat. Who coached the Lions in 1990? That'll let you know. Or 1988.
While we're researching I don't want to scratch a bad itch for you, Adam, but at the end of the first half, Kansas City kicker Harrison Butker sent a field goal attempt sailing over the left upright, and it was ruled no good.
Wayne Fonts. He was another big boy. Mm-hmm. All right, let's see this kick. We got to raise that height of the uprise.
Star in the win in overtime a week ago that allowed Kansas City to escape Los Angeles.
That looks good to me.
It looked good.
Is it possible to tell the moving background?
But we'll never.
The aisle where Harrison Butker is.
What they call it? No good.
Started reading your press clippings last week.
They called it no good.
Right.
Exactly how it.
It's unknowable because we can't figure out a way to get another 6 foot of 4-inch thin wall piping onto the end of this thing. And by the way, they just spent $5 billion on a stadium that has an aquarium in the bathroom. Can we pull this off?
When there was some solution.
Yes. If only there was some solution.
Is that a hard weld job? It might be hard to weld that. I don't know. Weld another 10 feet of pipe on top of those.
First off, kickers are yoked now. These guys have guns. They're built. Some of these guys are evidently just hanging out in the weight room the entire time because.
That dude is yoked and or strapped.
Yes, they're yoked and they're strapped because. Everyone else is practicing, and the kicker's kind of, they got a little extra time. And some of these guys, I don't know if you've noticed it, punters got some guns going now. Punters used to be the skinniest guy on the team, and now punters are, kickers were miniature ex-soccer players from Baltic Republics. Forget about Garo your premium. Forget about these guys.
I thought they all looked like Kathy Ireland.
And they look like Kathy Ireland from Semi.
Sure.
Tough.
Necessary roughness.
All right. These dudes are big, strong, strapping dudes now, some of these kickers, and they got enough leg to get over any upright. So we got to go up higher because I don't want another, did it go in, did it go out? This game wasn't that close, but if it was, that would have been a huge play. And also, the kicker's got to be a little frustrated because I believe that ball would have caromed in if it hit the upright.
Absolutely. Maybe we paint those top 10 feet like candy canes. Mm-hmm. If they hit them and it falls in, boom, another point. So you got a 4-point field goal.
Bring it full circle. Yeah. The kicker for the Lions, Matt Prater, is like a badass, all tattooed. I don't know how big his guns are. Maybe Chris can find a picture, but Prater is not the old kicker.
Yeah.
No.
It used to be if something went wrong on a play and the kicker had to try to make a tackle, if he actually did, he was like lifted up on everybody's shoulders. He was like MVP for 2 weeks.
On the other guy, would be shamed. Routine. Like the guy who got tackled by the kicker, you get shamed.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, Garo your premium, like literally in the Super Bowl when he got his kick blocked for the Dolphins and the ball landed in his lap. He literally, it's like he'd never seen a football before. It's like somebody
dropped him.
And like it dropped in his lap, and he's like, "What is this thing?
Yeah.
Get it away from me!" And literally, just like just threw it, like in the air. Like he literally didn't know what to do with a football.
Yeah,
you know,
it was a platter
of fajitas
at that point.
That's specifically funny to me, because I know nothing about football. However, I'm no Kathy Ireland kicking, but I can throw a football and I can throw a spiral, but just because I learned, I was taught. So for him to look at it like it's insane, for me to remember Sunday when Andy and I threw the ball in the park for 3 hours is funny.
Yeah, the kid from Lucas looked
Corey Haim.
Corey Haim had in his uniform shooting the movie Lucas had more ability than kickers
more athleticism,
and punters had back then. Yes.
No offense, but he looked like you would throw a ball if there were 11 defensive professional NFL players chasing you. It was like,
okay, now I'm interested.
Right. Oh, it is
not
it
at Lake Balboa.
It is crazy. And he panicked and he threw it right to Mike Bass on the then Washington Redskins, and he took it to the house.
The ball was straight in the air to go behind him when he tried to throw it. It was comical.
It's comical, I think it was the Redskins' only score of that game.
It was.
I believe he hit it twice.
Yeah, he
tried
to flap it up in the air,
and then
he kind of
flapped it sideways. Yeah,
right. I mean, it was as if the ball had cooties. Like he seemed generally confused by this ball that he, again, I don't know why, like in a world where these guys are at practice all day long and not really doing that much, Wouldn't you just do like five bad snap block kick scenarios at the end of every practice? Like, all right, the ball just, it's on the ground. Pick it up now. Pick it up and roll out. What do you do with it? Who, yell fire. Look for your man running down the field. Like, was never even. It was like,
no,
he never
made it out of if you made it out of Slovenia alive back then, you didn't care about anything else. Ooh. That was it.
Is he a celebrated Armenian American? Gopremian? Yepremian?
I don't know.
Garo Yepremian. Yeah. And also,
when Kardashian, Gargosian, that's a very Armenian sounding name.
When you see pictures,
Armenian arena.
When you see pictures of him, he looked like a guy who got you out of timeshare deals. Like, he looked like the attorney that will fight for you, getting you out of those bad timeshare deals. So you would have no idea what if Garo Yepremian walked into a bar in Miami in 1973, no one would have, you'd think he was there to clean the flue or redo the linens or something. You'd have no idea what this person did for a living. Do you have a picture of Garo
from
Yepremian?
The age of nine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll show you the clip, but we'll show you the. Yeah, I mean, look at Garo, your premium right picture there, Max Pata.
Yeah, these right are hand. Not veterans games. That's him in his prime.
Yeah,
he looks like he'd be like Balky Bartokomis' dad from Perfect Strangers.
All right, we'll find the play for you, or maybe Max Pata will find the play.
Yeah, it's
good. There he is. He's getting
ready. 42-yard attempt by your premium. Snap, set down. The kick is blocked. Rolling loose on the field.
Gets the ball.
It is picked up by Garo. He tries to throw a pass. Deflected in the air. Grabbed by Bass. 40. 35.
Oh,
30. He's got to score.
Oh, now he's got a tackle. Oh, it's great.
He's completely whiffed.
He didn't even tackle Bass. Like, he could have tackled the guy.
And the Washington special teams are
going to
make a new ball game. Just as we were raving about a...
That's the greatest.
Great.
He literally
butterfingers.
Most people don't throw two incomplete interceptions. Like, he threw two interceptions in one play, essentially. Gina, did we oversell just how inept and spastic he looked?
It looked like America's Funniest Home Videos. It was great.
All right, let me hit Bet Online here. Football back, as we've figured out. Good games coming up this Sunday. We got Vikings at Texans. We got Steelers at Titans, Bills and Raiders. Oh, that should be a pretty good game. Chargers, Buccaneers, Patriots and Chiefs. Be careful. Be careful, Gina. The Patriots can sneak up on you, man. Yeah. Eagles and 49ers coming up as well. More options to wager than anywhere online, from spreads and totals to props. Get in on season opening bonuses and wager on division championship futures. Head to Bet Online today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Visit betonline.ag, our exclusive partner at Podcast One. Don't forget, use the promo code Podcast One and sign up for your sign-up bonus today. Do it today. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. All right. Should we bring it home, Jeff?
You got it. Let's check the Bet Online line from Bet Online. Tonight, Brewers are at the Dodgers. Moneyline has the Dodgers at minus 232. NBA Finals, Heat at Lakers. Lakers -4.5 points. The favorite, the money line on the Lakers at minus 181. If you're interested, Thursday night football, Denver at the Jets. Broncos are 1-point favorites. Money line Broncos minus 110. That's your Bet Online line. And that is all from Bet Online line. I'm Jeff Cesario for All Balls, All Sports.
All Balls, All Sports. Presented by Bet Online, your online sportsbook expert.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back with a one-on-one with Candace Owens right after this.
Hey, movie lovers. Who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.